Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area, EMP180weightloss.com. They have locations in Tysons and in Rockville. I was there for my monthly check-in on Friday, and the place was jumping.
Very good.
Which is good, because Rockville's only been open for a couple months, and the business has picked up. Why? Because the plan works. All right, joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is the head coach of the Washington Wizards, Scott Brooks. He's presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialists in personal injury law. Good morning, Coach Brooks.
Coach.
Good morning.
Hello.
What's going on?
How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
It was exciting game, frustrating game. Proudly, you guys fought back like hell in that first half, get right back into it. But then third quarter's kind of a dud for you guys. What happened there? You know, we know what Golden State does in the third quarter. It's not like they exploded on you. We only got 14, though.
Yeah, we couldn't score. We knew that what they do in the third quarter, it's pretty much their quarter for the last 3 or 4 years. And We just couldn't get anything going. We missed so many easy shots. We turned the ball over. We just couldn't get the looks that we wanted, and give them credit. That's their quarter. They play well. They're aggressive. But I thought we played well. We had a couple of chances in that game to really, like, say, you know what, we had a great game the night before in Milwaukee. It's just not going to be our night. And we fought back and made it a game, and we just didn't have enough. There's a lot of things I'm proud about our guys, but we just didn't. That third quarter killed us.
Coach, how did Brad take his performance? He had six straight games where he had been in double figures, just 8 points last night, 3 for 15 from the field. We know he puts a lot of pressure on himself. Especially when John's not there to help with the offensive load. How did he handle the rough night from the field? Just 3 for 15 shooting.
Yeah, you could tell that he was disappointed in himself. But you know, he's been money for so long for us now, and you know, he had a tough night. He missed some shots, and give Clay Thompson credit. He's a great defender. He keeps pursuing, and they did a lot of switching, and they're not an easy team to score on. And but you know what? All in all, you know what? Brad has been playing so well. He was bound to have a tough night. And unfortunately for us, that we didn't have enough to help him out when he did have a tough night. But he's been so good for us for so long. So, you know, it's bound to happen. Hopefully he'll bounce back tomorrow night against Toronto.
Tough to beat the Warriors, you know, especially when you're flying in from Milwaukee the night before, back to back, and they got a night off.
It's a big ask.
It is, but you know, you hear all the stories. I mean, you read the papers, you watch ESPN. You guys are 10-4 since John went down now, and you guys have beaten some really good teams: the Raptors, the Thunder, the Cavs, you know, the Bucks on the road. You guys have beaten some really good teams, but you hear everyone start talking about how, yeah, well, you know, since John's been out, they're 10-4. Can you explain why you guys have been so hot without him? No one's insinuating that you guys are better without him, but why have you guys been so much better, you know, in terms of the results here in the last 3-4 weeks without John?
Well, we're definitely not a better team without him. John is is a dynamic point guard, one of the best in the league, and unfortunately for him and us, that he's been battling that knee all year long and hasn't been up to his standard of play this year. But I'll give him credit. He's a warrior. He plays. He's tough. He didn't want to sit out. And, you know, we thought that he was going to have some good days and bad days. And we decided it's best for him to, you know, have the surgery. But we're 10-4 without him. We're playing good basketball. Some of it early on was probably the schedule, or it was easier early on. But we did win those games, and some of them were on the road, but we've had some good wins. We're definitely playing a little different, and we had to. You know, John and the way Thomas plays, he cannot duplicate the way John plays, and we had to figure out ways as a staff, because we knew this time he was going to miss, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks is the timeline, and That's a lot of games. That's a big chunk of the season. And we could not expect Thomas to be the point guard that John is. So we had to make sure that we had some more ball movement and some Otto has stepped up. Brad has stepped up. Kelly has stepped up. A lot of guys have stepped up and played well. And we've got some good wins. And I'm proud of our guys. It's not easy playing without one of your best players and the best players in the league. But we played well.
Talking to Coach Scott Brooks, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialists in personal injury law, you talked about the style of play changing, and I'm wondering how it's going to change when John then re-enters the lineup. One of the statistics which I saw is that when John Wall was in the lineup, you were 27th in the league in passes, averaging 281 passes per game, and now you're 10th. So the ball is moving around a lot more, and obviously there's been a jump in team assists. How does John blend back into the lineup?
Well, we're definitely going to use his ability to create a lot of open, easy threes and layups for guys. And he also is, like I said, he's one of the fastest, if not the fastest point guard from basket to basket. So we want that. I think I think Thomas is going to have more confidence. You know, he's not going to get the 32 minutes that he's playing now and as a starter, but his 15 to 20 minutes, we're going to see a better Thomas. I think that's going to help. We're going to see a better Otto. I mean, I think Otto has really stepped up. You know, we've always had, and I blame this some of myself and some of Otto and some of our team, that in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, we don't get enough production out of Otto. And like I said, I think now he knows that we need him, and I know that we have to have more opportunities for him. So hopefully when John does come back, Otto's going to get looks and opportunities in the fourth quarter to be aggressive. I think also Otto can handle the ball more. You know, I think last year, not so well. This year, I think he's picked up now with John's out. He's handling the ball more. I think he's doing a pretty good job with that. And I think when John does come back, he's going to be able to do that. And then Brad is just playing really well, you know, other than last night. And I think John sees that. And when John does come back, hopefully we bring everything that we've done now and then add what he brings, and we're hopefully a much better team.
So do you see it more as the other guys kind of adapting to John and continuing to do what they're doing, or John adapting more and getting those guys a little bit more involved than he might have typically? Who's going to give more? Do you know what I mean?
That's a good question. I think we're going to have to, like, integrate the both styles, and I think we have to be able to do that. I think with John, like I said, we're fourth in the league in assists right now, and we've had a lot more assists lately, and I love the way we're playing. And, you know, last year we were fourth in the league in assists, and so it's not like we have to, like, change drastically, but I think it's going to help John also that Thomas has played well, because we don't have to play him, you know, 36, 37 minutes. And it's going to help that Otto has played well. So it's going to help him. And, the thing I love about John is that he's happy for the guys, and you want that. And, you know, he's there. He's helping me coach. He's talking to me during timeouts. He's talking to the guys in the huddles. He's around the guys. And, you know, hopefully when he does come back, and hopefully it's soon, I don't know when that will happen, he's going to start to get on the court and some light shooting. He's on the bike now, and he's doing leg strength workouts. And so hopefully he comes back soon and we're better.
Is he on that zero gravity treadmill thingy? Because the bike, I think the bike kind of stinks.
The Ultra G. I wish I can, like, stay in that permanently so I can put like 70% of my weight as I'm walking around.
Right.
Hey, I'm wondering.
It's amazing.
As a coach, do you like the direction the NBA has gone? I was looking, when you were a member of the Houston Rockets and you won the NBA title, I looked at Game 6 and Game 7. The scores were 86-84 and 90-84.
Yuck!
Do you like the way the NBA has moved, where Golden State's a team that averages 116 points per game? I think you average right around 110, 111, or in the top 10 in the league. Do you like that versus, you know, when you were playing?
Well, it's definitely different, man. It was borderline football on the basketball court. It was so physical, and you couldn't get down to the basket without getting clobbered. And you try to set a screen across the lane, that you're going to be chucked throughout the key. So I think it's definitely better. It's pleasing aesthetically, it's pleasing on the eye. It's free flowing. The three ball is a huge factor, even though it was important for us in Houston when I played with the Rockets. I just think it's better. It's better for the fans. Like I said, it was getting too rough out there. I think we can use a little bit of the physicality.
Yeah.
But what it was then, it was out of control at that time.
So last night I was doing pregame and postgame on NBC Sports Washington. Somebody threw out the hypothetical. It was like, how would the Golden State Warriors today match up with the Bulls? And I'm not going to say that because he didn't play with the Bulls. With Michael Jordan, but how do you think your
hard to compare
Houston
eras.
Rockets team would do in this era? Because when you do have somebody who is a Hall of Famer and an unbelievable talent like Hakeem Olajuwon, he would still be successful in whatever era, and you guys did have three-point shooters, but it still was a different era.
It's so hypothetical, but I tell you what, there's nobody on any team in this modern era that can guard Olajuwon.
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And all these switches and a smaller guy lineups, he would destroy. There's not a lot of bigs that can score with their back to the basket. And Olajuwon had the ability to step out and shoot a 17, 18-foot jump shot. He probably would have been able to shoot threes if we wanted him to. And, you know, he was playing now. But he didn't have to. If guys that would, I mean, it would be pretty embarrassing. There were so many bigs back then that can score at the back to the basket. Now, bigs do a great job of setting screens and rolling to the basket. They're not a back to the basket scorer, so it would be pretty tough on a lot of teams that play. Jabbar, he would have a field day. Karl Malone would have a field day. There were so many. Brad Doherty was a great player, but there were so many bigs back then that we don't have nowadays.
And you guys had kind of the traditional power forward in Otis Thorpe. And nowadays, that position is usually a shooter. I mean, even on the Wizards, you have Markieff, who's out of the three-point line a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there's another guy that, you know, before we had him, he was a 2010 guy. So, but he sacrificed his game. He probably was averaging 15 to 16 points, 7 or 8 rebounds. And he was a handful. He could score with his back to the basket. I mean, there's a lot of guys that nowadays the bigs, I mean, you come out, most bigs now are shooting threes, and they're not the scorers down low, and they're not the defenders down low because they don't have to guard anybody down low.
Coach Brooks, did you feel bad for Mahinmi last night? Speaking of, you know, the bigs going out and shooting from the 3-point line, did you feel bad for him when he had to defend KD? I think it was near the 3-point line or maybe the foul line, and he crossed him up twice and he hit a jumper on him. I mean, Mahinmi's a good defender, but mostly in the block. Like, out in space against Durant, it's borderline unfair.
Yeah, he had a rough night. He's been playing pretty well lately, and he had a rough night. But Kevin Durant's a rough matchup.
Yeah,
with everybody in the league. I had the fortune of to coach him for 7 years, so I saw that up close. And he's 7 feet tall. He has ball handling abilities like a point guard, and you know, he has a shot like one of the best in the history of the game. So it's a tough matchup for whoever was guarding him. Thomas had a crack. Kelly, he struggled on him. Otto, I mean, the guy, he's a professional scorer that, you know, when he gets it going, he's not going to be stopped.
So what do you tell your guys? Like, what is the one thing you do? You coach him for 7 years. You know the best approach. What do you tell him? Was it this is the only thing you can try to do? You know, I don't know what it is. Go left or, you know.
Well, you better learn the word help because you're going to need some help. You got to be physical with him. You got to always thought, you know, when you have a scorer like him, mm-hmm. one thing that he can't do, he can't score at all without the ball. So you got to deny him as much as you can and limit his touches. And if you could take away 10 of his touches, and maybe, you know, that could be 5 less shots that you have to go against. But he's nearly impossible. Like I said, he can rebound the ball as well as anybody in the league. And when he rebounds, he can bring the ball up to court and create offense for himself and his team.
Hey, Coach, this was a few games ago, but we were talking about this. What is it about the Hornets that gives you guys so much trouble?
I don't know, man. I'm just glad we only have them one more time.
But what is it about there? What do they do offensively that just gives you so much?
Well, Dwight dominates you guys at least this year, and Kemba is, you know, he's super fast and he's super quick against anybody.
Yeah, Kemba is. He gave us trouble, especially in that second half last game. Dwight just he has his way with us, and you can watch him. He's having a pretty good year, but also Jeremy Lamb. He comes in and just I don't know. He's averaging probably nearly 20 points off the bench for them. They played well. You know, we got, like I said, we got them one more time. Hopefully, you know, we can do much better. But we've had a tough stretch of games now. Hopefully, we can keep playing well, but definitely Charlotte is, they've had our number this year.
Well, their talent's also better than the record, in my opinion. I'm just curious, I think you beat Houston earlier this year, and everybody's looking at what the Rockets are doing. I think they've won 13 in a row now. 14 in a row.
Yep.
And they've lost one game when they've had Capella, Paul, and Harden together. This is the Western Conference, so the only way you would match up against them would be if you made it to the NBA Finals. Who do you like if Houston matches up with Golden State in a seven-game series? Because the last few years, everybody just pencils in Golden State to the finals, but this year it may be interesting.
I think that was fair to say last couple of years. You know, they were going to get there, and it was unless injury would have happened with the Warriors. But this year, there's definitely Houston is right there, and it's going to be hopefully. You know, it still has to happen. They both have to win two rounds to get there, and it looks like they will. But it's not going to be a guarantee. But Harden is like I said, I've coached him for 3 years, his first 3 years, and you can see that he was going to be one of the best. But he's taken it to another level. I mean, he's definitely the MVP this year, and that team is hard to beat. Chris Paul and him together. If Chris Paul stays healthy, that's been, you know, a history of his. Concerns with his injuries, but they stay together. That's going to be an epic series.
And then they just have so many great shooters, you know, guys that don't get much attention in the league, but Ryan Anderson can stroke it from like 30 feet. They've got Ariza.
Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gordon, right.
And they just signed Joe. Did they sign Joe Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got another Joe sniper.
They're just loaded.
When you come off the bench with guys like that, you're like, man, when is this team going to stop? They just keep coming with great players and great shooters, and they have the two great point guards really on the floor that create a lot of offense for them. They don't pass their passing is probably, I don't know how many passes a game they have, but they don't need to because it's going to either be a layup or a wide open three with their two point guards.
So, Coach, the schedule doesn't let up for you guys. You've got the Raptors on Friday. You got the Pacers. Basically, you just go through a slog of playoff teams the rest of the way. When will John most likely return to the lineup?
I don't know. Like I said, yesterday marked the fourth week since his surgery, and the timeline was 6 to 8. I don't know when it will be. Hopefully, you know, sometime in between then. Like I said, in the next couple of days, he's going to be on the court on some light shooting. He's on the bike now. He's on the Ultra G, so he's progressing well.
I heard he lost weight.
Great.
He lost some weight.
Yeah, I mean, he's very proud of that, too. He's walking around with no shirt on. He's making
nice.
Me disgusted because I look at myself. I'm like, geez.
Right.
I remember when that was me. But he's down to like 200 and, I don't know, 211, 210 pounds. So it's going to be good for him. He's doing everything he possibly can to be on the court. And we definitely have a tough stretch. You know, last night was our fifth game in 7 nights.
Right.
And basically all playoff teams coming up. So we're going to have to keep playing well and keep playing for one another.
And we're all good on the whole that chemistry BS and all the tweeting and all that. Like everyone's getting along good?
Yeah, everybody's fine. I mean, there's no question that you go through a long season, you're going to have some hiccups. You're going to have some disagreements, some arguments, some heat exchanges. And not only from team to teammate, but from coach to team.
Right.
That's just part of it. You know, if you're going to be around NBA heated, competitive guys, and you're going to have that. I've been on teams where you never have an argument. You know what? Those teams never play after the regular season.
Right. So where does this one rank in terms of, like, drama? Is it pretty standard?
Yeah, I mean, I was never concerned.
Right.
I was never concerned. It's part of it.
Right.
Like I said, if you don't have that passion, you don't have the give a crap level, and you're never going to have an argument then. And if you don't have an argument and you don't have guys go at each other in a practice setting, in a game setting, in a timeout, in a halftime, you have a bad team, and I don't want to coach a bad team, and I wouldn't want to play on one. And I've done it as an assistant, as a bad, and I've also played as on a team with a bad team, and no fun. You know, you want a competitive team, and you know at times you're going to have some arguments.
Hey, last thing, real quick, Coach Brooks, do you ever laugh at what some of the guys are wearing? I mean, what is Oubre doing every time? And then John with the sunglasses on the sideline in the arena.
Well,
what's
going on?
One of his
former players, Westbrook. Westbrook takes it to another completely different level.
It's a, you know what? It's a fashion show before games.
Yeah.
And they can pull it off because they're all, you know, 3 to 4% body fat, and they got
right.
You know, they got what it takes. I mean, the guys, I don't know what it's to me. It's, I look at it and I'm like, wow, that's an interesting look.
Right.
The styles are the styles, and just give me a pair of jeans and a T-shirt. I'm good.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah. I think when Coach came in here, he was like jeans, flip flops, and a T-shirt.
Yeah.
All right,
Coach. All right, Coach.
Thank you, buddy.
Get some sleep, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, keep it going, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you soon.
A little disappointing, you guys. I didn't hear my the Prince intro. What happened?
Did we not have the Prince intro?
We did play Prince. He didn't hear it.
Valdez.
I'm a point guard. I hear and I see everything.
We played it.
We played it. You weren't paying attention,
Raspberry
Coach.
Raspberry Beret.
Yeah, we played Raspberry
Classic.
For you.
And, by the way,
right,
we played Little Red Corvette on Tuesday when we expected you to call in.
Yeah, what happened there?
Scott Hall, man, he's a slacker.
I told the boys it was because you guys were an hour behind in Milwaukee. You stopped. You know, you were still on Eastern Standard Time, but you were on Central.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll see you guys.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
I don't know. Is that an answer or not?
I don't think he was tracking with us.
He's like, you know what? It's 8:22. This interview's over.
I don't think he was tracking with us at the end.
All right. We do have Jay Beagle coming up at 8:40 for the morning skate here on the Junkies.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm going to pull a Jason and bring something else up to divert the entertainment page for a second. I guess the hand size Olympics are happening right now, and the height and weight. Sam Darnold, 6'3 and 3/8.
Mm-hmm.
221 hand size, 9 3/8. Don't know if that's good, bad,
no
indifferent.
We need a reference for that, obviously.
Have idea.
It's crazy.
Is that 9 inches from wrist to top of the middle finger?
I think that's the measurement.
It's a big hand.
Yeah.
Measure mine. I think I've been silly NFL caliber hands.
Somebody get a ruler.
You just don't have the arm.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the height.
Or I'm silly. I think I'm like Cousins.
Or the ability to read defenses.
No, I couldn't do that.
No,
I would cave
never.
Under pressure.
Not a billion years.
But I'm like Cousins. I'm silly like 10 yards, 10-20-yard pass.
I can't throw anybody open. The guy needs to be super wide open. And I can hit him. But only in limited range.
But you know what? In my old age, I used to be able to throw a ball pretty far.
Yeah.
In my old age, I can't anymore. The bombs are nubs.
The arm is weakening.
The bombs are nubs.
I threw.
I can't do it anymore. But I'm still at 10 and 15 yard
out. Of course.
I did 3 full court shots the other day. Now, it was an outdoor court, so it was really basically like 3/4 of court.
Yeah.
And my arm was toast.
Of course.
And I was like, what am I doing?
Definitely dragging it behind you.
Definitely hit backboard in all 3.
My daughter was, she plays softball as a, well, she, I don't know, she plays at a goof for fun. And so they have softball tryouts this week at her school. And we were just throwing around. Oh my God, my arm started hurting within 5 minutes. My shoulder started hurting.
Because
you think
up,
you're like, you feel like you're 15 again. You just start firing.
Right.
And then.
Then the old age sets in.
It's so hurting.
Yeah, the rotator cuffs aren't built like they were
for men who
25
lift
years
weights,
ago.
It's terrible.
In particular,
for
men who lift weights, eventually you're going to have some sort of shoulder problem.
Damage.
I see so many guys at the gym doing these little tube exercises. You know they've all had same shoulder problems.
They all have impingements.
I'm doing that now with 5-pound weights.
Are you getting any better with your rehab?
Still bothering me, man.
Really?
I see you wincing in here from time to time, doing some weird arm movements.
Yeah, I haven't really talked about it, but I think I mean, I don't know this for a fact because I haven't had an MRI, but I think I have a torn rotator cuff, although the doctor, the ortho, told me that he thinks it's just an impingement of the tendons.
But you didn't have an MRI.
Did not have an MRI, but it feels, I had a torn rotator cuff in my right shoulder. And this hurts worse than my right shoulder.
Why don't you go get a Murray?
Lazy.
Is that what it is?
Although the shoulder
because
you got to put your head under. Those are butt scary.
Yeah.
I don't like
Because
them.
What if it is? Just assume it's torn.
Yeah.
I'm not having surgery on it.
Well,
you're
just going to go through the rest of your life with a torn labrum?
Yeah, I'll just do rehab and strengthen as much as I can, but I'm not having, because that's a year. I'll be out for a year.
It is, but if it really, like, you can't play tennis, you can't play golf.
I don't play tennis.
Yeah, but what if the doctor told you to come back sillier than before?
He won't.
Like, you'd be like a 30-year-old.
He won't.
No, you will come back better.
My stroller will be stronger, but right now I can still swing a golf club. I can still go out there and play hoops, old man hoops. So I'm fine with it now.
I don't think it's completely torn then, because I don't think you could do all that.
Dude, it hurts bad.
I'm sure, but it can't be completely torn, because I don't think you could do all that. If it was.
Well, I can do it with my right's torn.
Hey,
I can do
at least
it.
You're self-medicating with alcohol every night.
Yeah, that numbs it.
That
numbs
I know you're doing that.
That is the move.
I want to give you that. We got to talk about this. Every day, Valdez stuffs my my folder.
Hey, there's another teacher story.
There's a hot teacher. You got to do it.
All right, but he says
she
this
looks just like Demi Moore.
Yeah, but doesn't he say this one's better than all the other ones?
This is what he says. And here's the thing. She is an attractive girl. Although I think in some pictures she looks way better than in others. I think the one here where she's holding the fish, where she's out on the boat, she's fishing with Valdez and his dad.
Yeah.
I think she looks, like
hot.
A 10.
Yeah.
I think it's the close-up where she's like, I don't know, she's at her computer and doing like a selfie.
She
doesn't
look
as good.
The middle picture definitely looks like Demi.
Right?
The bikini picture is just a show.
Yeah, the bikini picture is outrageous. That should be every girl's profile picture.
Shocker.
She's a nice catch.
Hold on.
Shocker, Florida.
Yeah, I know. Florida. Here's the thing. This story actually angered me. I normally don't get angered.
Why upset?
Because, listen, if you're a teenager, if you're a high school kid and you're tagging your math teacher or something.
If you're like 17.
You know what? Good on you. I mean, whatever.
High five.
It's not right, but right. I got this chick, though, she's preying on an 8th grader. Okay, which is, again, beyond
12?
The pale. No,
that's
he's
like
14. I don't
14.
Know. He maybe repeated a couple classes.
Right.
But an 8th grader to the point where, and she's sending him nude pics. I mean, I get that's part of the wooing process, but he's in 8th grade. She's actually picking him up at his home at 11 p.m. He's sneaking out of the house, and then she's bringing him back at 2 a.m. She's 26.
She's full on crazy.
This is full.
Her,
this woman.
Like, if the kid's 17.
Any chance she thought he was 17 or 18?
He's in 8th grade.
I know, but did she?
She's a teacher.
She is
a teacher.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know they were in the same class.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, this woman, honestly, I think like 20 years.
Cakes, you have an 8th grader.
I think a lot. Prison time.
Yeah. How old is your son?
He's 13.
13.
Turns 14 in June.
Can you imagine your middle school teacher picking up Brendan at 11 p.m. while you guys are all sleeping?
She is sick.
That don't you think that's worthy of like 20 years?
She's a sicko.
She was also
buying him
weed
and everything. Grades were going in the toilet.
I don't know if you can take a girl that looks like that off the streets for too long.
Grabby.
No, not 18 and that chick's doing that, then it's a party. Then it's full 100%.
I would even say
full
cakes
on.
Between you and me, if you're 17, I mean,
hey, right. But 20 years is a little too long.
Okay. What do you
five?
No, I think jail time, dude. You're talking about an eighth grader.
She'll get like a year.
Snatching. She's encouraging an eighth grader to leave the house in the middle of the night while the parents are sleeping.
Yeah, she's sicko.
That's messing up
that kid for life.
That kid's ruined for life.
Yes.
I think 20 years. Sorry. Her best years in prison.
He's either ruined for life or way ahead of the curve.
That's right.
One
for
of the
life.
Two.
He's bragging all the
kids groomed. You can't.
Hey.
In eighth grade, your kid is
different.
She's, you know what? She's got mental health issues.
She's
got
to go to jail. I think she's got to go to jail for 20 years.
What does she have in her hands there? Is it a Jeter? A Marlin? I'm not sure what sort of fish it is.
I don't know what it is.
You know Let me see it. Let me see the fish.
I feel bad for her husband. You know what
she's married to?
Oh, she's married.
Yeah, her husband's a firefighter.
Oh,
so
really?
He was. That's why she had those hours. Yeah. He was at the firehouse, and she's picking him up from 11 p.m. to 2
a.m. Who ratted her out? Did the kid rat her out?
I don't know.
Here's what happened, is that the parents...
Oh, you didn't know. You didn't read the story.
Rockfish, maybe?
The parents, this is what I suspect, but they confronted the kid about his grades. Mm-hmm. And so the kid kind of cracked and told his parents about the affair that he was having with the teacher.
She looks just like Demi Moore.
And then the parents went to the police and to the school and everything.
They should have.
Yeah, and it all spiraled downhill from there.
You can Google her. Her name's Stephanie Peterson.
That's his theory. That's what
that makes sense.
Well, no, it said that his grades went down and his parents confronted him.
I just think, I don't know. She's been booked on picking up the parents.
She's been booked on two counts of lewd battery and one count of transmission of harmful materials to a minor.
So that was sending the nude photos, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the charges be more serious than that?
I think there'd be statutory rape.
The two counts of lewd
battery? Well, maybe it's not when it's consensual. I don't know how that works.
No, if it's statutory, but I don't know what the laws of that state are.
Is that considered rape even?
And maybe I don't know. I don't know what they've proven.
Man, she looks just like Demi.
No, she's a hot chick, but she is legit. You know how crazy she is?
She's crazy. Yeah, she's nuts.
When you think about it, she could probably have 99% of guys out there.
Yes.
Why
and then she's choosing.
How about 100%? Who wouldn't be with her?
Including Jason Bishop, apparently.
I mean, somebody's smitten over here.
She's just hot.
I think Cupid got you with a bloop with the arrow.
It's just woken up Jason from his sexual slumber.
No, I just can't believe how hot she is and that she's getting down with an eighth grader.
Jason, what do you think about this for punishment? The judge should sentence her to do pornos.
All right.
So dumb.
How about this?
So dumb.
Do pornos with me.
Your sentence is cast and couch videos for the next year. You must produce 30 of them.
So stupid.
Judge Feldy's handed down his sentence.
All right. Do we have Beegs next?
Yes.
Right.
Beegs.
All right. I think we got a whiz bit. Now we got to do our caps bit.
I think he won 17 out of 20 faceoffs the other night.
Yes, he's a faceoff killer.
Is he the best in the league?
He is not the best percentage-wise in the league. He's close, though. He's very close.
By far the best we have.
Best the Caps app, yes.
Right.
All right, we'll talk to Jay Beagle from the Washington Capitals next for the Morning Skate. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. Join us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's our pal Jay Beagle for the Morning Skate. Good morning, Jay.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
And we were just raving about your face-off stats the other night.
You were balling.
yeah, I had a night in the face-off circle, so you know, that was obviously nice. I wouldn't say I've been struggling lately, but I haven't been as good as I wanted to be, and so I worked on a couple things the last couple weeks in practice, and you know, a night like that is always nice to have, you know, when you're really feeling it.
Why are you so good on face-offs? Were you always that good when you were younger?
Yeah, I was always usually pretty good at face-offs. I had my dad kind of helped me a lot with that when I was younger, and he had a friend that played a little bit of hockey in junior and stuff, and so I think just, you know, he showed me a couple little tips, and I kind of stuck with it and worked on it. It was always something that I enjoyed doing. I don't know why. It's kind of a weird thing to enjoy. It's a face-off. It's not, you know, it's not that, you know, important. It is puck possession, but it's not something that, like, most people focus on. You know, I should have been working on my hands, I think, you know, when I was younger, instead of just sitting there taking face off. So, you know, yeah, it's always been something that I've enjoyed doing and took pride in doing.
Jay, I'm guessing you faced off against this guy a few games ago, Ryan O'Reilly from Buffalo. He not only has he won 60% of his faceoffs, 60.5%, he's taken 1,604 faceoffs this season. You're right. You're like in the mid 800s. Why is he so good? And how? Why does he have basically double the amount of faceoffs that you have at this point?
Yeah. No, he. I mean, he's a guy that takes them. You know, kind of weird. He's one of the few guys that take them kind of in a weird way. It's hard to read. And I thought the rule change was going to kind of, you know, I don't want to say hinder him, but it was going to make it more even playing field, I think. And he's found a way to still be so dominant in the faceoff circle. So yeah, he takes them just really high up on his stick and really swipes through kind of almost like a, you know, like a baseball swing, but at the ice, you know, swings through pretty quick, and he's got great timing. It's very hard to do. You know, actually, Nicky can do it. But not too many guys take it that way, face-offs that way. And I don't know why he takes so many. Like, against us, he took around, you know, 35 or 40 the both games we played him here. So, you know, I don't know if coach is just putting him out there for every draw because he is so good and he's utilizing him. So,
How's that work? I know, like, good. In lacrosse, like, you know, generally, if you have a couple face-off guys, if you win the face-off, they're gonna throw you out there for the very next one. You keep going basically until you lose. That's kind of generally considered how they do it. Is that how you guys do it too?
Well, we do a little bit. So, coach is pretty good at reading if I'm winning them. So, obviously, last game, he threw me out there for a lot more draws than I normally get, just because. You could tell that, you know, I had my timing down and I was kind of feeling it. So I get put out for more draws, which is nice. But yeah, usually on like my right hand side is my strong side because I'm pulling it to my backhand. So that's my strong side. And I'm the only right handed centerman. So I get a lot of the right handed draws in the D zone. So I'll get put out there with a different line to win that draw and then change in the D zone because the D zone draw is obviously pretty important. So I get a lot of those right-handed D-zone draws. It kind of works like that. Almost, a little bit like lacrosse, I guess.
Right.
If it's on the left-handed side, then we put, you know, obviously one of the lefties out there because we got three of them. So
last game, you guys, you're a big part of the penalty kill. You guys were sort of on your heels the whole time. You did a hell of a job, right? I mean, 6 of 7 you killed. But we got to limit that, right? I mean, we can't be in there 7 times. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was a crazy game because we had 2 5-on-3s as well, which, you know, doesn't happen too often. So, we did good on the kill. You know, Gruby had some big saves. But obviously, you know, looking back at it, a couple of the penalties, you know, weren't penalties. You know, Brooksy's at the end there. The guy embellished it, obviously, a little bit, and it just wasn't a penalty, and so that happens. And when you get those, you definitely, you know, we were all saying when we got on the ice, we're like, we're killing this for Brooks because that was garbage. You know, that wasn't a penalty. So, you know, but when it happens, sometimes you have games. That's our job. I mean, I take pride in penalty killing as well, and that's a job that is big, especially when you only up one goal. So it was good to get those killed.
Jay, were you surprised at how chippy Ottawa was in that game? I figured, you know what, Ottawa's—they're dead in the water. They don't have really much left to play for at this point. They looked like they were going to be sellers at the trading deadline. Ultimately, didn't move Erik Karlsson, but they were ready to scrap with you guys on Tuesday night at Capital One.
No, I you know, coach said that going into it. He said like this is going to be a loose team that is, you know, obviously has nothing to play for playoff wise, but they have jobs to play for. And they're going to come at us. And so we were kind of prepared for that kind of game, that kind of style of game. And I mean, no matter, you know, your record or, you know, how you're playing, we're all competitive guys. And so no one likes to lose. So, they're almost a more dangerous team, you know, when a team's kind of out of the playoff run and they just come into the building playing loose trying to match you with everything they got. So it was good. It was a good game. It was a fun game to win, and it was good to get back in the win column.
So, Jay, you guys have been rested up the past few days, heading towards the Stadium Series game Saturday. Toronto comes to Annapolis. You guys are playing outdoors. Does that bring all of you guys back, especially the Canadian guys, to playing outdoors when you're kids, you know, like just going out to the pond or whatever, to the local rec center? Talk about that and the atmosphere and the pomp and circumstance around this game.
Yeah, no, it's always fun. Getting outside is always a blast to play outdoors. I've been a part of two of them here with this team, and it's always been a lot of fun. We've won both, so we got to go for three. And, it's always just fun. It just kind of almost a little break in the season. You know, you get to go to Annapolis, practice, you know, the day before outdoors, get a feel for the ice. And a lot of family comes in for games like this. And we have like a family meal, I think, after our practice. And it's just the whole kind of 2 days is a lot of fun just to spend with the family and the team. And looking forward to it. I guess it's going to be – the weather's going to be, you know, not too bad. It's going to be a little bit cold, I think. They're calling. I think it might be windy. But, hopefully the ice will hold and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, batten down the hatches at your house tonight and tomorrow, bro, because it's going to be 60-mile-per-hour winds.
Are they saying, I've seen 30. Why are you saying 60?
Oh, wow. Gusts.
Not sustained winds.
Yeah, 50 to 60 gusts. That's going to be big. We don't usually see that.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Kick those trash cans in your garage, buddy.
Does that freak you out? Do you get freaked out by stuff like that, or you don't even care? Like, Jason will sit out on his deck and watch the weather come in. He loves that. Have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't care. I'm not ever freaked out by weather.
Are you a guy that watches the weather? Like Jason will watch the weather every day. Wants to know the exact temperature.
No, he doesn't care.
You don't care, do you?
No, I don't care. Yeah, I never. I never really pay attention to it.
I'm with you.
I don't know why.
What's the temperature down on the ice when you guys are playing a game?
That's a good question. Cold.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a good question. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a lot colder, but I don't know. That's a good question because they're gonna obviously have to have something freezing that ice real good underneath. So it's gonna it's gonna be colder down there. But I'm not sure.
Is it butt hot in the locker room then when you get back in the locker room and you have all the gear on and everything?
So sweaty.
Yeah,
that locker room must smell
so
bad.
Gross, right?
Yeah, the locker room always smells bad, that's for sure. I brought some people through it the other day, and they were shocked at how bad the room reeks.
Yeah. They gotta get some of those lacrosse sticks or whatever, you know what I mean? The glove sticks.
Hey,
you gotta use that.
Hey, Jay, how often do you get massages?
Ooh.
We got a guy who's unbelievable, Cleo. He came in this year, and he's our massage therapist. So I've used him quite a bit this year. He's really good at preventing injuries. He's really knows the body real well. So I've been using him a lot, but usually I don't really get massages. Like I never go anywhere to get a massage.
Right.
I've never gone anywhere to get a massage in my life. So it's just been, with the team, services. And so, but I've used him a lot this year.
So will you do that before a game or after?
No, usually after. Yeah, after if something's bothering me. It's usually if just you feel something in groins or hip flexors or psoas or back, low back. And he's really good at finding kind of where the problem is. Sometimes if you block a shot or you'll have bruising somewhere and you all of a sudden start to feel tight, kind of somewhere else. He's really good at kind of figuring out where the problem's coming from.
You don't have a chicks-only massage policy, Jay?
I don't think that would work.
Hey Jay, what are you going to watch on the flight to Anaheim before your game on Tuesday?
That's a lot.
You guys know that I don't watch anything, so that's a trick question.
I forgot that you didn't watch
anything. What will you do? You listen to music?
So that's a 6-hour flight.
Sleep.
I'll sleep. I'll sleep a bit. Read. Just kind of hang out with the guys. I think eat a lot. I eat a lot usually. Usually eat 2 or 3 meals on that long of a flight. So just kind of take some time. I got the two young kids. So when you get a chance like that, it's
to settle the chill.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Dude, he's different than us. He's a reader.
I think today's National Book Day, by the way.
Yeah, what are you reading?
Well, right now I'm actually in the Bible.
Oh, my God.
Interesting that you say.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is Bickle. It'd be butt size.
Look at that. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm reading.
Are you reading it straight through or what?
Like the hockey Bible or the real Bible?
Yeah. No, it's a real Bible. It's the real deal. Yeah, no, I'm in the Old Testament right now. I read the New Testament, and I started in the New Testament, and now I'm going in through kind of the Old Testament. I'm in Proverbs right now, so it's wow. It's interesting. It's very interesting stuff. Yeah,
you and I couldn't be more different.
That's quite a revelation. He's reading the Bible.
What a good dude, good man. I didn't think he could get more good dude points, and he just did.
He just racked them up.
All right, Jay. Hey, thanks, buddy. Good luck, man.
Yep, yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Okay.
Jay Have Beagle, a great day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nicest guy in hockey. Nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
I thought Brooks was
reading
nice.
The Bible.
Jay Beagle took it to another level with the Bible.
That's one way to fall asleep on a flight. Is by reading the Bible. So maybe,
I don't think I could get through one page.
Yeah, you could.
Silly. I don't think I could.
Read silly 23rd Psalms or something.
I'll bring one on our flight to Florida. We'll see how long you last.
That's a
you
good idea.
Bring one.
That's a good idea.
Because you don't own one.
I don't know where I'd find one.
My mother will
I guess
send
a bookstore.
My mother will send you one. She'll
at the hotel, there may be one.
No, they're in Florida, 1,000% chance right. There'll be a Bible.
Right. They still have them in all of the...
A lot of times in nightstands.
Yeah.
And we got confirmation staying at a Selly.
Yes.
Good. I wish we could. Hotel.
I wish we could say what Jason wrote in his email.
Solo rooms?
Of course.
I mean, I don't know.
Grown-ass man.
I know I am. That's why I'm asking.
I'm not staying with cakes.
Yeah, they used to make a stay with
I'm
cakes.
I'm not doing that anymore. I'm a grown man.
What's wrong with cakes?
Nothing.
All right. I got to be able to do my own thing.
You exactly. Snore and you have a CPAP machine.
I'm going to be at the Palm Beach Kennel and Poker Club. You're not even going to see me.
I might go with you.
You might bet the dogs.
Bet it all.
All right. We're
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.